even though this feels terrible right now. I'm so sad. I don't think I'd ever been that sad in my entire life, but I still was able to know and believe that God is good.
Yeah.
Even though what we were going through was not good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is like when you know that you are actually walking in joy.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Making Hestory. My name is Brian.
And I'm Katie.
And we're the Hesses. Katie, how are you?
Doing great.
Yeah.
I wish it were not nighttime.
Yes. So we did it again. We skipped recording on Friday.
We did.
And now it's late Tuesday night.
I don't know why we don't plan like to do this during the day when we're both home during like a nap time.
Like, we could look at that. We could look at that.
Yeah, if we skip Fridays, which we should just not skip Fridays.
I know, but it's just hard. Well, and we skipped Friday because as of releasing this, it was your birthday yesterday.
Yes.
So happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Thanks. So you let me go shopping.
So you wanted, there were some things that you wanted.
Yeah.
And part of the reason you wanted them, because we were heading into Easter.
Yes.
Which was super fun.
Mm-hmm.
We had such a fun weekend.
We did. It was great. So there was a lot going on.
There was a lot going on.
But it was all good.
This year, our church planned basically like a whole weekend of events.
Mm-hmm.
On Good Friday, we had what we call family table night.
Mm-hmm.
That was so fun because the whole church gets together. And we just lined the whole lobby area with just like banquet style tables.
Mm-hmm.
And we just eat and then we worship. And it was just such a fun night.
It's so great. Yeah. I really love how much our like church family really genuinely feels like a family.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a beautiful thing.
It is. Yeah. And then Saturday, we had a park day.
We did.
Family park day.
Mm-hmm.
That Which was so fun.
Also so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
All the kids were just able to like run around and be crazy, which like they try to do that at church anyways, but
right.
And they do it back at kids' church. Let me just tell you. But they were actually allowed to be wild and free. And all of us adults, parents just got to hang out and kind of watch them and just enjoy ourselves. It was a good day and the weather was perfect.
The weather was awesome.
Yeah.
It was a little warm, but
it started
like,
getting warm by the end of the day. But yeah.
And
then we had family dinner that night with your family.
Yeah. Right.
Which was great. It feels weird to say your family because it's my family too.
Yeah.
Our family. Your side of the family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But at I was wondering, because at Family Park Day, I brought my cornhole boards and another one of our friends did. And so I spent most of the time playing cornhole.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm wondering if our listeners in other countries know what cornhole is.
That's a good question. I've never like asked. So I don't know why I would hear anybody else from other countries talking about cornhole. But
if you're listening and growing up, up in Illinois, we just called it bags. So I
don't care for that.
Cornhole. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if anyone's landed on like a great name for it yet.
Yeah. Cornhole isn't much better. But anyways, continue.
Anyways, if you're listening to this and people don't take us up on this, and I wish you would, if you're listening to this and you don't live in the United States, shoot us a message somewhere. Send us an email or preferably just find us on Instagram.
Yeah.
Shoot us a message. Say, hey, listen to your podcast. By the way, no idea what you're talking about.
Right.
Or yes, here in England or here in South Africa, we love cornhole. Which I would be surprised if it was like a worldwide thing.
Although there's those like cornhole tournaments. Is that just in the US though?
That feels
Are like there a, like teams? I think there were teams. Remember when we like watched it on accident at one point? And I'm pretty sure there were teams from other countries.
Okay, I don't remember that, but
I think so.
Could be the case. So let us know. Let us know if cornhole is a big thing.
Yeah.
Because I love it. Love cornhole.
It's a great game.
So what else happened this week? You took the girls on a hike.
I did. And Ollie.
And Ollie. Here we go. I keep doing it. You took the kids. We have three kids now.
We do. One's
We've had
a guy.
Three kids
One's a guy.
Months.
That was weird. One's a boy.
One's a guy.
One's a guy. Yes, we went on a hike. So now the weather is like mostly stable here in Georgia, it's not like 30 degrees, 90 degrees.
Yeah.
I like to get outside more with the kids. And so the girls historically have loved going on hikes. And so this was Ollie's first hike. It's the perfect length hike. And you end up at a waterfall, and then you can go up a little bit further, and there's just like this big stream that you can kind of hop on the big rocks. And we usually find a big flat one to have like a little lunch or snack or something on. Mm-hmm. We have a whole routine.
It's perfect. Yeah.
So yeah, we went, and it was eventful to say the least. Well, one thing, we went knowing that the weather was a little bit iffy, like it was super cloudy.
Right.
And so it rained on and off on us the whole time.
Okay.
But we went into it. I was like, hey, if it rains a little bit, it'll cool us off. It'll be great. But there were some things that I was not expecting that happened. So as we were getting ready to leave, I was like putting on my tennis shoes that I normally wear hiking. And then I realized, oh, I have hiking boots that I haven't worn in ages.
Yeah.
It's been over 10 years since I've worn these boots, I think. But they still fit. They're, you know, super nice. Really like high-end hiking boots that I got when I worked at a mountain summer camp. And so I put them on. I was super excited to get some use out of them because it's rare. And we get up to the hike, to the trail. And about 2, maybe 3 minutes in, I start kind of like tripping on something. And I was like, what? Did I get like a branch stuck in my boot or something? And I look down, and the entire sole of my right boot is just flopping in the wind.
The whole bottom is like, coming off.
What? What am I supposed to do with that?
Yeah.
And so I was like, well, maybe I can kind of just like push it back on. And so I tried doing that. No, that thing was just done. So I was like, well, I guess I'll just hike with one sole off of my shoe. And so I just tore it off and just put it on a rock. And I was like, I'll pick that up on my way back. Mm-hmm. Take a few more steps. The same thing happens on the left boot. And I was like, okay, what do I do with this? Like, do we go home?
Yeah.
Do I just hike barefoot? Do I hike in these like very lightly lined
moccasins?
Like, seriously, that's what it felt like moccasins.
Yeah.
Going back to like, you know, traditional hiking ways. And so, you know, I was like, well, they have a decent bit of support. Still just, well, not support. I wouldn't call it support at all. Just lining to protect my feet.
Yeah.
And so we just trudged ahead with my little soles on the rock.
Yep.
Waiting behind. And it was crazy. And I just could not believe that happened so quickly.
That is
into the
so
hike.
Weird. I've never heard of that.
No, I would have never expected that to happen, but yeah.
So and the bottoms of your shoes fell off?
Bottoms of my shoes fell off. And then, you know, the hike was pretty good. And then we had been just hanging out around the waterfall for a while. We had our snack and then we had a bathroom fiasco.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get into a lot of detail because I promised I wouldn't. But just use your imaginations with a 7-year-old, a 4-year-old, and an almost 10-month-old.
Yep.
Of what could possibly happen. And it was a lot. And so we were like, rushing back to the car, like, okay, we got to get home because, you know, we didn't want to have to do a woods bathroom. And we did not make it.
Yeah.
So we, you know.
So there's a bathroom fiasco.
Bathroom fiasco in the woods. And then in the midst of that, in my, like, panic trying to make sure everybody was okay, I set my phone on a rock that we were standing behind.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
And it stayed there until I realized we got back to the car and I got all the kids buckled in, Ollie out of the carrier. He's all buckled into his car seat. And I was looking for my phone and I was like, oh no.
Yeah.
The phone is at the bathroom rock. And so I had to figure out, you know, getting that back. And it was just, it was a whole eventful hike. But despite all of that, like, we honestly had such a great time.
Yeah.
We were laughing about the bathroom thing. I was laughing about leaving my phone there because what, you know, it was just ridiculous. And we were all cracking up about my shoes because they looked hilarious. Also, it just looked so like goofy. I didn't look, I mean, I was wearing shoes with no sole on them. And so it just looked super funny. Nobody else noticed, you know, the people that we passed, but Nora would every now and then like look back and be like, how you doing, Mom?
That is so funny.
It was really
checking
fun.
Checking in on you.
Yeah. So it was a great day. We all had a lot of fun, and Ollie like loved crawling around on the rocks, and I put his hands in the water and he was like, oh, because it was so cold.
Yeah. That's so fun.
Yeah. It was a really good day.
Yeah. And then one last thing. Izzy did her thing again that we've been talking about.
She did.
You were doing school with Nora today.
Yes.
And
the numbers.
She was doing 7 + 3.
Yep.
And Izzy, who's our 4-year-old, blurts out the right answer.
Yep.
And she's been doing this. Honestly, like these have been weekly updates.
Yeah.
She's been doing this at least once a week.
It's so
whether wild. She's shouting out the answer to a math problem that a 4-year-old can't do.
Yep.
Or telling you exactly what the temperature is outside before you even know.
Yep. It's so bizarre.
It is bizarre, but we are loving it.
Yeah.
I don't know. And she came running into the room to tell me because I was in the bedroom and she wanted me to know. And even like it's bizarre because it's like she couldn't even explain to me. Like this is how far removed she is from being able to do the thing that she's actually doing. Like she couldn't actually explain to me the problem that she solved. She just came running and she wanted to tell me that she said 10, you know, and that was it. And she couldn't explain why. Well, why that was a big deal.
Why is that right? Yeah.
So it's not even like, oh, she can kind of do like math.
Right.
Like she's 4.
No.
She can't.
Yeah, no.
Not at all. She's not adding anything.
Right, no. She can count, but she's nowhere close to, we've done 0 school.
Yeah, so this just keeps happening over and over.
Yeah.
So we'll just keep track of that, and we'll keep you guys updated on her, what we're assuming is a words of knowledge thing that's happening.
Yeah.
A similar thing happened with Nora when she was younger.
It's funny. Crazy, crazy.
All right. Well, here's our topic. For anybody who's just now listening, maybe for the first time, for the last couple episodes, we've been talking about love and some of love's maybe characteristics or qualities and like contrasting those with what we would call like a counterfeit version of it. So we've talked about how love is patient, but it's not passive.
Mm-hmm.
We talked for the last 2 episodes about how love is kind, but it's not nice.
Right.
And today we're talking about how love is joyful, but it's not necessarily happy.
Mm.
And I think that just as much as somebody would use the words kind and nice interchangeably, I think people also use the words, I know I do, use the words happy and joy or happy and joyful.
Yeah. Without having the knowledge that they're very different things.
Right.
You know, which, like you said, we do it too, where you just don't really like think about the difference between them. But when you know like the real true definitions of them, they're very, very different things.
Yeah. Yeah. They're very different. So, and actually you sharing your story of the hike is a great example of this.
Mm.
And we'll use this example lightly because we'll talk about like life being hard for people. And we'll talk about like the reality of suffering.
Yeah.
And that like nowhere in the Bible are we promised an easy life.
Right.
But so you weren't exactly like suffering on this hike.
Right.
In the way that some people know suffering.
Mm.
But I think it's a great example in that you went on this hike and you probably had some ideas in your head of how it would go. But I doubt your shoes falling apart. And I doubt like an emergency bathroom fiasco and like leaving your phone on a rock and having to figure out how to go back and get that.
Yeah.
I doubt any of those things were
not necessarily on my list of things that I wanted to happen on the hike.
Not part of the plan. But even though circumstances changed and things didn't go the way you planned or maybe even didn't necessarily go the way you wanted them to go, you guys were still able to have a really good time. Like when you all got home, if you hadn't told me, I wouldn't have known that anything went wrong on the hike because you all came back so happy.
Yeah.
Like, oh, there I am again. See, you were happy, but you were even more than that. You came back joyful.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of differences, but one of the main differences between happiness and joy is that happiness, the existence of happiness is predicated on like the right circumstances happening at the right time.
Yeah.
Happiness is something that I would go so far as to say that happiness is something that happens to you.
Mm.
It's not necessarily something you cultivate as much as it is the product of things going your way. It is the product of good circumstances.
Sure, yeah.
Things going well, mm-hmm. things being easy. That's when happiness comes.
Yeah.
And happiness isn't bad.
Right,
it's
yeah.
just not, it's inferior to joy.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like I said, we're not promised an easy life.
Right.
Life is going to be hard. The Bible actually has a fair amount to say about suffering
mm-hmm.
and trials. So taking that into account, if our goal is happiness, like if that's our aim,
mm-hmm.
then it's going to be a big bummer for us when we find out that like circumstances change, unplanned things happen
yeah.
that are not ideal
mm-hmm.
and hard things happen. Hurtful things happen.
Yeah.
And one of the main differences between happiness and joy is that while happiness is fleeting, it's fragile, it requires the right circumstances for it to exist, joy is something that is able to continue existing
mm-hmm.
regardless of what's going on.
Yes.
Again, that's not to say that being joyful means that life is easy.
Mm-hmm.
It just means that even when life is hard, we are connected to something or someone, I should say, that mm-hmm. is so much bigger than whatever circumstances we're facing.
Yes. Yeah. And we can rest in the fact that he is good.
Yes.
Even if our circumstances in the moment are not good.
Yes.
Yeah.
When life is not good, God is still good.
Mm-hmm.
And he still loves us.
Yeah.
He doesn't stop loving us when we screw up, and he doesn't stop loving us when our lives get hard.
Right.
And because his love is persistent, we have access to continual joy.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so much better
yeah.
than just having happiness.
Right. Absolutely. Like, of course, like happiness in the moment is great. And like you said, it's not a yeah. bad thing. Like
no.
you don't want to like run away from happiness. Like no. for goodness sakes, allow yourself to be happy.
I'm fine to be happy.
But just don't let that be as deep as it gets.
Yeah.
Like allow yourself to go for something more sustainable
mm-hmm.
and more permanent.
Right.
Rather than just allowing whatever's going around you to determine whether you have a good day or a bad day or happy or sad or, you
yeah.
know, like all of those things can change in an instant.
Mm-hmm.
But joy is something that you choose
yeah.
to put yourself in and choose to put yourself under the one who gives you that joy.
Right. Mm. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. I don't, like when I think about our, even like our long-term goals for ourselves and for our kids,
mm-hmm.
I don't just want to be like a happy person.
Right.
And I don't just want to raise happy kids.
Yeah.
But I want us to actually be joyful.
Yeah.
And one of the ways you can tell whether you're a happy person or a joyful person is like how much does your feeling of happiness fluctuate?
Mm-hmm.
If it comes and goes and one day you're happy and one day you're not, and it's totally tied to your external circumstances,
yeah.
then my encouragement would be to view that as an invitation to allow yourself to be rooted in something deeper,
mm-hmm.
to allow yourself to be not just like tossed around by like the changing of your circumstances, but
yeah.
to actually be anchored to the quality of God's character because
yeah.
he's unchanging. So if he always loves us, if he's always good and if he's always faithful, mm-hmm. that means that we always have access to the joy that his love will produce in us.
Yes. Yeah. And that gives you permission. When you have joy, it gives you permission to not be happy.
Sure. Yeah.
And to still be okay.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you can think of when we went through our miscarriage,
mm-hmm.
like that was an awful experience.
Yeah.
And even like, I mean, we had an early on miscarriage. So I know that like sometimes it's even more traumatic and even
yeah.
like harder, like when you can actually like hold your baby, you know, like
yeah.
I can't even like go there.
Yeah.
My heart goes out to all the mamas and dads who have experienced that because
yeah.
I can't even imagine.
I can't either.
When we went through the miscarriage a year and a half, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I can't even remember when that was. Yeah. It feels like forever
ago.
But I mean, we were not happy.
No.
But I would say that we still were able to hold on to the joy
mm-hmm.
that we have in Christ.
Right.
Because we felt an overwhelming peace.
Mm-hmm.
We found comfort in knowing that, like, even though this feels terrible right now. I'm so sad. You know, I don't think I'd ever been that sad mm-hmm. in my entire life, but I still was able to know and believe that God is good.
Yeah.
Even though what we were going through was not good.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that he was good and that we were going to get through it and that he was going to hold us through the entire thing.
Yeah.
And I think that is like when you know that you are actually walking in joy, because happiness is not involved.
Yeah.
Like that I was not happy for, I don't know, a while.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it was hard to not be happy because I'm used to being happy.
Right.
You know, like I am typically a pretty happy person.
Yeah.
And so it was hard to not be happy. But I remember the Lord just being like, you have to give yourself permission to not be happy
mm-hmm.
right now, to allow yourself to mourn
yeah.
in this circumstance so that I can return you to joy.
Mm-hmm.
Because like you really, like you can't know true joy without knowing mourning as well.
Sure.
Because if you're just constantly like living on top of the mountain,
mm-hmm.
then like you don't know what to be thankful for. You don't know what to compare that to. Mm-hmm. And so those times of mourning really allow you to see, oh, wow, like I do have joy in my Savior.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's really, it's not fun to be in the mourning, but
right.
it's worth it to be able to return to that joy and
yeah.
know that you are carried through it by the one who created everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's such a good way of looking at it. That when you're a really joyful person, you're not always going to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, because we've been working for a long time now at really anchoring ourselves to the goodness and faithfulness of God,
mm-hmm.
that when life gets hard, there was always just like this, like within like the depths of me, I just always knew that it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And I don't, you know, it's hard to explain that in the moment
mm-hmm.
other than just to say that, well, I mean, like the Bible talks about how God will work all things out for good
yeah.
for those who love him.
Right.
And so it doesn't mean that bad things won't happen. It just mm-hmm. means that when bad things are happening, there is a hope that we're able to cling to.
Yeah.
That the God who we know to be good will do good things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know what that looks like.
Yeah.
But like right now we have Oliver.
Right.
And you actually, I know, just had a recently had a conversation with Nora,
mm-hmm.
who actually, which you don't realize what a 7-year-old thinks about.
Yeah.
But at least our 7-year-old has... She thinks a lot.
Yeah, about a lot of things that yeah. I thought maybe she probably forgot about that.
Yeah. yeah. She was asking you about the miscarriage, mm-hmm. which I know we've talked about this in like way past episodes.
Yeah.
But it's possible, maybe even likely, that it was twins.
Mm-hmm.
And so Nora was asking about, you know,
yeah,
the twins and just saying how like she
wished that they would have made it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you had that conversation. It's like, yeah, we do too. But like now we have Ollie.
Mm-hmm.
And so... you know, that wasn't how we wanted it to go, but yeah. we're so thankful now mm-hmm. that we have Oliver. And,
yeah.
You know, it's so hard to live in that place.
It is.
Like not wanting, of course, we don't welcome the hard things. We don't
no.
like welcome the
yeah.
bad things, or we don't look for that. But because we know the nature of life
mm-hmm.
right now, as it is just on the earth.
Yeah.
That it's going to be hard and it's going to have really painful moments.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to live in that tension. But the reality is, this is our reality, that
yeah.
the more we've gotten to know God, the more we've developed a relationship with him, the more we face mm-hmm. hard things and we think, well, this sucks,
yeah.
but I know you're good.
Mm-hmm.
I know yep. you're good.
Yeah.
And so
yeah,
I'm
looking
forward. Remember
what you did. This time, like, and how you turned it for
yes.
good. Like, I remember this. You yeah. have times, you've built up relational equity with him. You have
mm-hmm.
you have testimonies of things that he's taken, like these awful situations, and turned it for good. And so you build that trust with the Father
mm-hmm.
through those times. What were you going to say, though?
Oh, I don't know.
No, sorry.
No, sorry. Right.
Made you get yeah. off track.
But part of cultivating joy is what you just said. Part of cultivating joy is cultivating a history with the Lord.
Yes.
Because if his love is what produces joy in us, then in order to access that joy, we have to access his love. Mm-hmm. And part of accessing his love, it's not just about the present, it's also about the past and the future.
Yeah.
So when you build a history with the Lord and you realize that I've always been loved, mm-hmm. and I recognize that you love me now, and I recognize that you will love me tomorrow, yeah. and the next day and the day after that, then that it changes your perspective on life, and it changes yeah. your perspective on how you're viewing circumstances.
Absolutely.
Again, because he's good and he's faithful, and yeah. that's just who he is.
Right.
So if he's those things all the time, and if he always loves us, which he does, then yeah, we can access his joy.
Mm-hmm.
Even when life is hard.
Right. And that requires viewing God through the truth of the Bible.
Yeah.
And who he says he is, rather than viewing God through your circumstances, which I know we've talked about this, yeah. but I just felt like we needed to bring that back around.
Yeah.
Because it can be really easy to get an idea of God as being unpredictable or not good, or mm-hmm. dishonest, or, you know, whatever characteristic you want to throw in there. But if you have that idea of God, it's because you are seeing him through your present circumstance. If you're going through a hard time, you're saying, this is not good, so you must not be good.
Yeah.
Instead of knowing who he is because of who he has said that he is in his word, and seeing like, okay, this is not good. My circumstance is not good, but I know you are good. So this must not be where it ends.
Yeah.
And knowing that, like, because he is who he says he is, because the word says he's good, because the word says he's faithful, because the word says he's honest, and, you know, all the amazing things mm-hmm. that he is, that you can still cling to the hope of your circumstance changing for good because he's in charge.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
I love that. So real quick, let's talk about what this means in our relationships,
mm-hmm.
either with like our spouse or with our kids, especially. We don't want to raise kids who are just happy.
Mm-mm.
Because again, going back to what we said at the beginning, happiness is tied to circumstances. And even happiness is connected to the word happenstance, which I found out recently that the word hap, which is like kind of the root word of them.
I didn't even realize it was a word.
Yeah, well, I think it's like an old English word.
Okay.
But it means luck or chance.
Hmm.
So happiness is like, it's something that happens to you.
Yeah.
And it's something that is just the product, like I said, of just the right circumstances mm-hmm. at the right time. But if we're going to raise kids who are happy, then we're going to have to work really hard at catering to them and working really hard at managing their emotions for them,
mm-hmm.
making sure that they don't experience hard things, making sure that they always get what they want.
And good luck with that.
No, thank you.
That reminds me of, I think it's a Paul Rudd meme. Where it says like after a whole day of like taking the kids to the aquarium, getting a treat, going to the park, going to the zoo, like doing all these amazing things, and you get home and they ask if they can watch a show or something, yeah. and you say no, and they're like, well, today sucks.
Yeah, literally.
Like you do all these things to like cater to them, and then one thing goes wrong, and it's like, well,
right.
Guess you don't love me.
Yes. First of all, I love that.
I love that meme.
But
it's so funny.
So, but that is very much like the nature of a child.
Yes.
Is, well, they don't know yet how to manage their emotions.
Right.
So again, like we're talking about this in terms of like this is a very long-term process.
Yeah.
So we're not talking about having a four-year-old who...
Sure. Yeah.
Who doesn't... get upset when they don't get what they want,
right?
Because they're kids mm-hmm. and they don't know how not to.
Yeah.
We've talked about this, but they only know really like what they want right now in the moment.
Yes.
And everything's kind of riding on that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So they don't have like long-term vision.
Yep.
They don't yet know how to like process not getting what they want mm-hmm. and like holding that intention with like, well, God is still good and he loves me. And so like, I know mom said I can't watch a show right now, but like God is good and a bit tomorrow, you know, that's just not,
it's like either I get a show or I die. Like,
let me have what I want or I'm going to throw you a huge tantrum.
Yep.
So, this is very long-term thinking, but even like long-term, we don't want to raise kids who are just happy again, because that's unrealistic.
Mm-hmm.
And we want kids who are joyful. We want our kids to become the type of people one day, whenever, and like in like the range of maturity and the growing up process, mm-hmm. whenever this becomes possible. And realistically, it's probably more possible early on than we realize in some ways. But we want kids who are able to live life knowing that life is hard. Things aren't going to go your way sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
People are going to hurt you. Things are going to go poorly. But even in the midst of that, there is still access to this like this well of joy that doesn't actually dry up.
Right.
It's because God's love never stops.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we've talked about that, but that's what we're looking for in our kids. And I think one of the reasons we need to draw this distinction, especially with regard to like parents and their kids, is that sometimes we see parents who seem to maybe lean more towards wanting their kids to be happy rather than wanting their kids to be joyful. And you can tell that's true when a parent does everything they can to not let their kid experience hard things.
Yeah.
Or when they do everything they can to make sure that all of their kids' desires are being met.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a bummer. And that's not going to set your kids up for life. Because one day they're going to grow up and they're going to move out of your house and they're going to realize, oh, everybody isn't catering to me all the time.
Yep.
Oh, something didn't go my way at work, or my girlfriend broke up with me, or, you know, something hard happened. I got fired.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, what do you do then?
Mm-hmm.
Because like everybody's not going to cater to you.
Right.
So you've got to figure out how to live life and experience hard things while managing yourself in such a way that you live in the tension of life is hard, but God is good.
Yes.
That's what we're looking for long term with our kids.
Yes. Right. Right. If we're trying to cater to their every desire and fleeting thought, then we're really doing them a huge disservice in the long run and setting them up for an unrealistic expectation for what life actually looks like.
Yeah.
And that's not to say, you know, like we're not saying life is awful. It's really hard. And we just have to remember God's good. You know, like it's not like we're throwing ourselves a pity party because life is terrible, but God is good. You know, it's not that at all, but it changes. I think you said it changes your whole perspective on the hard things that life may throw at you when it gets thrown at you, that you can look at it through a completely different perspective rather than thinking like, oh, everything is happening to me. It's like, okay, these things are happening.
Mm-hmm.
What am I going to choose today? Yeah.
Yeah. I think at the end of the day, we want to love our kids. And again, love produces joy. It doesn't necessarily produce happiness.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and let's look at it again from the perspective of God as a father towards us.
Mm.
He actually lets us experience hard things.
Yeah.
And so there's all these analogies you could use of like, you know, Jesus didn't prevent the storm from coming, or he didn't prevent the disciples from going into the storm.
Mm.
But he went into the storm with them and he like brought them through it.
Yes.
Right. And so there's there's all those, like he didn't prevent Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from being put in the furnace, but he went in there with them.
Yeah.
And he brought them through, and Daniel in the lion's den. You know, there's all these different biblical examples we could use as metaphors, but he doesn't necessarily prevent the hard things from coming, but he will go through them with you and bring you out on the other side.
Yeah.
And that's what we want our kids to understand.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that I don't yet really even fully know how to articulate. But like we live in this tension of like, we want good things for our kids, but I also don't necessarily want to make life too easy for them. And I know that like sounds,
for sure.
I don't know how to talk about that yet
in
a way that like sounds right and makes sense. Right.
Well, we even had like times with the kids where they're just like freaking out over like the smallest inconvenience. Yes. And we're like, do we need to make your lives yes. way harder than they are? Like wait, and we like this, say that to them. Like,
yeah.
Do we need to make this a bit rougher for you guys? Are we like too nice?
Right.
What's going on?
And sometimes like, I don't know how to help a small kid put something in perspective.
So right.
Even like Nora, she's 7. And sometimes she will get very upset over something that feels like it's not worthy of that kind of reaction. <Yeah. laughs> And so we have sometimes like jokingly, but we've kind of had this conversation with her like, hey, like, is your life too easy?
Mm-hmm.
Like, do we need to let you like experience some harder things?
Yeah, right.
You know, to give you some perspective on like, this isn't, you know, this isn't that big of a deal.
Right.
And again, there are so many different things that you have to talk about and think about. And mm-hmm. so like somebody hearing this may hear us say that and think like, oh, well, like you should never ever like minimize or discount like somebody's emotions.
Sure. Yeah.
It's like, yes. And again, I don't know how to articulate this yet, but here's what I want for our kids. I want for them to understand that emotions are real. Mm-hmm. Emotions are helpful.
Yeah.
They're natural. All the emotions are good.
Yes.
We are created to feel all the emotions.
Yeah.
But I don't want to raise kids whose lives are dictated by their emotions.
Yes.
And so that's the hard balance sometimes.
Right.
Like, yes, I get that you're upset. I don't want to deny that you're upset about this.
Yeah.
But I do want to help you realize that this isn't worth being upset over.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, I don't know
right.
how to walk that line
sometimes. Like, I know we've talked about in like past episodes too, of like, if the response is or reaction is greater than what the yes. like situation justifies, then yeah. like there's something deeper going on.
Yeah.
But also sometimes mm-hmm. if you know your kids really well, sometimes it's just because they're letting their emotions yeah. take control and yeah. it's like, whoa.
Right.
Just because you can't get that Lego piece on mm-hmm. doesn't mean you need right. to scream yeah. and stomp and, you know,
yep.
do whatever you're doing. And yeah, that is a really hard thing to like articulate for sure. Yeah. It's like, I love you and I want to give you all the good things that mm-hmm. I possibly can. I want to bless you in all the ways. I want you to know how like doting and loving your Heavenly Father is.
Mm-hmm.
And I also need you to realize like, you've got it pretty good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Recently what I've been thinking about, and I've heard other people using this language, and like when your kid is upset about something, doing two things right away, like validating it,
mm-hmm.
but then also like offering them a solution.
Yes.
And validating in the sense of like, so let's say Nora's, like you said, maybe she's building a Lego set and she's having a really hard time getting a piece on.
Mm-hmm.
We know her well enough to know that like that small thing is enough to just like, she can get very upset about that
yeah.
very quickly.
Yes.
Right. It's like 0 to 60.
Yep.
And so like the language I've heard people using, which I really like, would be to walk up and be like, oh, well, of course you're upset. It's super frustrating when you can't get it right.
Yeah.
If you want my help, I'm glad to help you. Or if you try this, you know, and mm-hmm. then just like leave it at that.
Yeah.
It's like, of course you're upset. Legos yeah. are frustrating if you can't get it on.
Right.
I get that. But also, you want me to help you? Or yeah.
Here's an out. Like,
is there, yeah, yep. you know. But yeah, it's hard to live in that tension.
Yeah.
But I guess just to bring all that full circle, we want to raise joyful kids. And because we want to raise joyful kids, not just happy kids, we need to let them experience hard things.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a balance there. And I think that comes with like age appropriate hard things.
Yes.
But yeah. still, like, let your kids have things that cause them to throw a tantrum
mm-hmm.
and let them throw the tantrum and then let them know, hey, you're okay.
Yeah. Yeah, because I mean, how empowering is it and like how triumphant do you feel when you get through something that's really difficult?
Yeah.
So like if we're not giving our kids the chance to do that, they're never going to know that they can overcome hard things.
Sure.
They're just always going to think that they're victim. They're falling victim mm-hmm. to their hard things that they're going through. And even going back again to that example of Nora doing Legos, like when she gets those pieces on that she has a hard time, or when she completes that set, she's so proud and she wants to talk about every detail of that set with you and wants to know, what's your favorite part? Look at this really cool thing that it can do. Like, watch the hamster go down the slide, you know, like literally it's like, it's the best thing ever.
Yeah.
And so it's really like, it's amazing to watch your kids overcome things.
Yeah.
And that, like, they're going to find so much joy in those things and see like, oh, I am capable of doing these things. Mm-hmm. I am capable of doing hard things. Yeah. And, you know, obviously we want to bring the Lord into those situations as well, you know, but like having those little examples along the way of like letting them see like, hey, you're actually able to do this. Like, you don't have to like storm off and break the whole set and walk away, you know, like you can just like take a deep breath and push through it. And then they come out on the other end, like beaming.
Yeah.
And so they're going to build, that's how they build trust in themselves too, you know, to be able to get through those tough times.
Right. And I always, whenever we have something like that happen, I always try to make a point to communicate something along the lines of like, I knew you could do it.
Yes.
Like, I never doubted that you could be build that whole set by yourself.
Absolutely.
I totally knew you could do it.
Yeah. Because if we never let our kids like experience hard things, that communicates to them that we don't trust them to be able to handle that by themselves.
Sure.
But when you as a parent say like, hey, you've got this, like you are totally able to do this, they're like, oh, I am. Yes, I can do this. You know, that's just a very, it's like
giving
them like a superhero boost, you know, knowing that you believe in them and that you trust them. Because as parents, like, we're everything to our kids.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we really need to like remember that.
Yeah.
And really need to take that seriously, and that it's not a small thing to be a parent. Like, you have a lot of power to build your kids up or to tear your kids down. So how are you going to use that power as a parent?
Yeah, that's good. All right. I think that's going to be it for this episode.
Sounds good. Let's go to bed.
I'm so tired. Okay. Really quick. I have a favor for everybody listening to this right now. If you are listening on any podcast platform, if you could do us a huge favor, and this might not feel like a big thing, but I promise it's a really big thing. If you could leave us a good review, if you have found any value in our content, if you could just do it, leave us a good review. That's a very small thing that you could do that actually helps us in a really big way. Mm-hmm. If you're watching this on YouTube, if you could like this video and subscribe, that's, again, a very small thing that you can do that helps us in a really big way. But that's going to be it.
Sounds good.
Okay. Well, once again, my name is Brian.
And I'm Katie.
And we're making history. We'll see you next time.